الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأجمعين من تولى ومن أعدائه إلى أبد اللهم كن لنبيك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا معينا حتى تسكنه على بكر الله وتمتعه فيها طويلا. One of the masail that we ought to know is that it was mentioned earlier on the first day, and that is to enter the fast. That is, when you want to start the fast, we have to be in tahara, meaning that if a person had become wajib or an individual, he has to perform that ghusl before fajr. And if he doesn't do that, purposely that fast of that day will be batil, and a compound penalty also will apply. If it so happens that the time was so short and there wasn't enough time to perform that ghusl, then it is wajib that we perform, do a tayammum. Tayammum, that is the substitute for ghusl, substitute for wuzu. That is, in cases where we find no water, in cases when water is harmful for us, or for example, if we are wounded, we couldn't perform that ghusl of wuzu, tayammum has to be done. Tayammum has to be done on earth, sand, dirt, clay, or a piece of rock, a piece of stone. So what you do is that habitat should be dry, clean, the heart is shut, is a condition in that part of that earth to be. It's best to have a little slab of stone at home. If you don't get that stone, then have some dry dust or dry earth. Now the dust that gets on the window sills or under the carpets or under the sofas, on that you cannot perform tayammum. That is possible. So get little some sand and keep it at home, and if it is required that tayammum needs to be done with the intention of qurbatan ila Allah, how you perform it: remove the reins from your hands, keep your glasses, remove them as well, and then assuming this is a slab of stone, or that is where you got that dust, with the intention of qurbatan ila Allah, you beat your two hands like that, and then you bring it to your forehead, all the way from where the hair starts to go, bring it down, slightly move your hands towards either sides. That's your forehead time. Again, beat your hands on that stone with the left hand from here towards the fingertips, and again with the right hand from the wrist right up to the fingertips again. That tayammum is done. That is, instead of wuzu. If it was instead of wuzu, you do not need to hit your hand twice. But to be on the safe side, just hit your hands first. That is, first you hit and then your forehead. Hit again, left hand on the right and right on the left. That is tayammum done. And with that, the person who enters into the fast, his fast is valid, and also he can say his prayers with that. It doesn't mean that if that ghusl was wajib on him, he doesn't need to perform. That ghusl again needs to be done after that. Salaam. Again, we will continue the same qualities of the Shias that have been mentioned by Amir al-Mu'mineen. Before coming to that hadith, just to get an idea, because every one of us is heading towards the hereafter, and moving towards the hereafter, the first station we get to that point is by dying. That is, the moment a person dies, that is the moment when he will live forever. That eternity will be sought. And this eternity is either going to be in the hell or the heaven. So it's either one of the two. If someone's fundamentals were firm and strong and he ended and died on Iman, he will get the good news of the heaven. Now, one of the scariest stops, there are many stops from the person, from the point the person dies until the day of judgment. And the first stop is that grave. That is, a person, when he dies, that is the first station that we have to enter into. And it is mustahab that people who want to lay this mu'min to rest in his grave, that you don't just straight away take him and bury him immediately. The teaching is that slowly, gradually, you bring the body, and the third stop should be the stop when the body is laid into the grave. And the reason behind that is that the person, that is the deceased, the dead person, he is not horrified or shocked by just throwing him into that grave all of a sudden. And it isn't as such that because he is dead, he doesn't know anything, what's happening around him. He is aware and he knows what is happening around him. In Sahih Sajjaniya, there is a dua, and that is where our fourth Imam, he sends salawat and salams onto the angels of Allah, the Baraka wa Ta'ala. It's a beautiful dua. And then Imam comes and says that وَسَفَرَةِ الْكِرَامِ الْبَرَرَةِ وَالْحَبَةَةِ الْكِرَامِ الْخَاتِبِينَ وَمَلَكِ الْمَوْتِ وَأَعْوَانِهِ وَمُنْكَرِ الْبَنَكِيرِ وَرُمَانَ فَالْتَّالِسِ قُبُورِ. So, Imam lists a number of angels, and all of these angels are those to whom these different tasks are assigned in the life after death. One of these angels is called Roman. And the task assigned to this angel is that when a person dies and when he is laid in his grave, this angel comes to check this dead person in and sees what his basic performance was in this dunya. And depending on the performance of this individual, Munkir and Nakir, the two angels, will come and question. They will come in a good form or in a horrible form. That is, if the performance of this individual was good, they will come in a good form. And if it was bad, they will come in a tough form. That is, to question this individual in a difficult and a tough way. So that Roman is that angel, the first one who will come and check this deceased in. And after that, all those different stages in the grave, they take place. For the general mu'mineen, it is tough. And if we look into the du'as that we have, teachings from Ma'asumeen that we have, it is not an easy transit, that is, from this dunya to the hereafter. But those who are lucky, who are strong enough in this dunya, for them it is going to be easy. Again, if you see the teaching of Rasulullah, once they were digging a grave, Rasulullah, when he sees what's happening, they say that they are digging a grave, someone has passed away, they want to bury him. They rush, Rasulullah rushes, comes to the grave, sits on one side of it and weeps a lot, cries. And then says to everyone, لِمِثْلِهَابَ فَاسْتَعِدُّ. You have to prepare yourself for such an end. And there everyone has to come. He weeps a lot, he cries, saying that it is not an easy task ahead. There are certain things that help. Help in that first stop. Help in one dying and giving away his life. Among them is these prayers that we offer. Sometimes we find that the ruku in our prayers is not fine. It needs a lot of fine-tuning. We are in a rush. We don't perform the ruku properly. We don't perform the sajda properly. Say someone who doesn't perform his ruku properly in his prayers, they have a tough grave. So be very careful. All this first to myself. That is, when we say, when we bow down in ruku in our prayers, bow down, say it properly, Subhana Rabbi al-Azimi wa bihamdi, whatever that recital you want to say, Subhanallah, say it in that posture without any movement. Once you've done that, stand up and then go down to sajda. So that efficiency or that beauty of that ruku has to be observed. Sometimes in those stations and the first station, which is the grave, things that help is this recital we have, La ilaha illallahu al-malikul haqqul mubeen. Masumin, they say that you recite 100 times a day, that will help you a lot. And again, among the things that help in that stop is that you visit people who are ill. Visiting someone who is ill again helps us in those stops, especially in the first station, which is the grave. Coming back to the teachings of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Where Imam mentions the qualities of the Shias, or Shias in the viewpoint of Imam Ali, he says that Shias, they don't interfere in everyone's business. They mind their own business. It doesn't mean that if they see something wrong happening and if they can correct it, they don't say, no, they do that. Rules of Amr al-Ma'ruf, Nahi al-Munkar apply. If they can do something to correct things that are wrong around them, they do it. But unnecessarily, they don't poke their nose, they don't interfere in everyone's business. So they do not promote themselves, they are hidden people. Whether or not, again, to understand what does it mean, they are hidden people. Among these great personalities, among the great Urafa who passed away 2 years ago, it's Ayatullah Uthman Bahjat. Lives for about a century. Is a marja that lived at the age of 60, 70. But he doesn't promote himself at all. And when everyone was after him to give his risala, his dozier masail, he gives it, initial publications that he had, it didn't even have his name on it, just dozier masail and blank. So he didn't even want his name on that. Now, after a lot of emphasis, he agreed to have his name without the titles, that is Ayatullah al-Usman. And after years that Ayatullah al-Usman was inserted to his name. So these are people who are great, who don't want to promote themselves at all, no matter what the circumstances are. So Imam says that they do not like to promote themselves, they do not want to be in the picture. Whether or not people recognize them, they do not care. Imam says, our Shias, they have regulated their temptations, their desires, their lusts, and they have blossomed like a flower, that everyone recognizes them, everyone benefits from them. Their good is always evident, and their fragrance is felt by everyone. These are the pure Shias. Another quality which Imam mentions over here is that la yuthnuna min al-muslimina salafan wala yakfuna lahum khalafa. Now Salafi, what we have today, the Salafi lot, the Wahhabis, what they say is that whatever existed during the time of the Prophet, that is what we have to practice today, nothing more. Exactly what existed. So much so that the birthday of Rasulullah, which is one of the most important events for us, they don't celebrate it. They're saying that because it did not exist then, we do not need to celebrate now. Over here, Imam says that our Shias, they are not like that. That is, they don't follow their predecessors blindly. Whatever they did, that is, they just don't follow it blindly. They are men of evidence and proof. They research, they see what is right, and act accordingly with common sense, with that intellect which Allah has given to them, which regulates at all times. So that is a Shia. And then it says, شُرُورُهُمْ مَكْنُونَةٌ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ مَعْزُونَةٌ. That no evil is seen from these Shias. They are very dignified, very good personalities. أَنفُسُهُمْ عَفِيفَةٌ وَحَوَائِجُهُمْ خَفِيفَةٌ. Very chaste. May that be the men or the women, they are chaste. أَنفُسُهُمْ مِنْهُمْ فِي أَنَا وَالنَّاسُ مِنْهُمْ فِي رَاحَةٍ. And our cheers, they are smart, Imam says. Smart not meaning any well-dressed, well, that is another issue that inshallah we will touch, that what should be the dress code of mu'mineen. It shouldn't be as such that they are run down, dirty clothes. No, a person, mu'mineen especially, they have to be dignified, they have to be well-fragranced, they have to be well-groomed. And what type of clothes they should be wearing, inshallah, we touch that point later on, inshallah. And then Imam says that our Shias, they are smart, they think, and are never deceived or cheated. وَالنَّاسُ مِنْهُمْ فِي رَاحَةٍ People are at ease by their presence. That is, they serve others. Now what does it mean that people are at ease? For example, in the early days of the revolution, there was a majlis that was held in Qom for the Shuhada. Host was Imam Khomeini. There in that masjid, which is known as Masjid al-Nasi, quite a small mosque, maybe half the size of this hall, and people were packed. Host was the Imam. And when people were inside the mosque, you had piles of shoes and slippers outside the mosque. This, and it is a custom over there that the host of Azam, they stand outside welcoming the guests. He, with some of the men, were standing outside, and all the guests were in the mosque. And when the mosque was packed, this old man, he bends down, starts putting his footwear, the shoes and slippers, together in order. Now, who is he? A Majid Taqleeb. Millions of people in Taqleeb of this old man. Now, why does he do that? For two reasons. One, that mu'mineen, when they have participated in that Fatiha and they want to come out, they find their shoes and slippers easily. It's not tough for them. Secondly, his opinion, his fatwa was that these shoes and slippers are property of those mu'mineen. And me stepping them, that is haram, it's not allowed. How delicate the performance of these nobles is. That is, we have no right to step on these shoes and slippers which don't belong to us. We can't say that they are just scattered over there, we can step them. We can't. النَّاسُ مِنْهُمْ فِي رَاحَةٍ The people, by the presence of these great personalities, they are at ease. And that says, وَالْخَالِسَةُ النُّجَبَاءُ That they are pure. They have only one face. What does it mean? Now the trend that we have today is that that is, if you don't want to be defamed, you become part and parcel of that community, part and parcel of that entity. Here Imam says that Shias, they had one face. That one face for everyone. It isn't as such that when you are in need, you change your face, you change your color so that you blend in with everyone. That is not allowed. A Shia, Imam says, no matter what the gatherings are, he has just one face, and they are not a thousand-faced figures. Says, فَهُمُ الرَّوَّامُونَ فِرَارًا بِدِينَهِمْ So that their faith is not attacked and tarnished, and it attacked very gracefully, without even creating a chaos and a mess, they will just flee away with holding their religion. They take care of their religion in a very beautiful way. Then says, وَإِن شَهِدُوا لَمْ يُعْرَفُوا If seen, they are never known, as if they are as the Shias of Ahlul.